now let's turn our attention to the medical world and our own medical commentator and Mayo Clinic neurologist, Dr. Joseph Servin. Today, we're talking about medical translators and a new study out of Canada that highlights their importance. Here's Dr. Servin.
So the biggest finding was that they looked at cardiac disease patients who had some type of heart trouble and were admitted to the hospital and what happened to readmission rates later. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that people who had limited English proficiency, i.e. they have difficulty speaking the language or understanding the language, had higher admission rates, readmission rates, occurring within the month or a couple months after they were initially admitted for whatever heart disease problem that they had. Hmm. And this was something that was fairly specific to that issue of the fact that it was this group alone, the ones who had limited English proficiency. Mm-hmm. Now, what was fascinating in addition is that you have to remember that the research and researchers were done in Canada. Canada with its wonderful public health system that really tries to make sure that all these issues are settled. Mm. And they found that this is the case. So it makes you wonder when you have a slightly more fragmented system like you do in the United States, that this is likely a reality that when someone has limited English proficiency, that some misunderstanding of the treatment or how to take the treatment or what to do or the options can lead to real life consequences. And in this case, we're assuming that readmissions meant that they were sick enough that they needed to come back.
So, I mean, so you're a physician, you work with patients. What is this like from your point of view when you're trying to really talk to somebody, make sure they understand those kind of nuances?
I think that that is something that is very difficult when you're in the room with someone who doesn't speak the language. You know you're going to have to spend more time with that person, which is fine. But secondly, you're really going to try to do your best to make sure that the translator who's sitting with you, either technologically on some device mm-hmm. or in person, is understanding what you're asking. So you have to assume or hope to assume that they're in your head and they're in that patient's head. You know, like that old game of telephone and you never knew what came at the end.
Things get changed. Yeah, yeah.
You pray you got it right. But it just, what I take out of this is how translators, particularly medical translators in healthcare units, they are the unsung heroes because no one talks about them yet. In places such as here in Arizona, where you have several folks who may speak more Spanish than English, or there's more limited English proficiency, that group of individuals are key, and we need to make sure that we're providing in that manner.
Yeah. Well, what does the law say? Is it required that hospitals provide a translator for patients who need it, and are there enough of them?
Well, the Affordable Care Act actually had a line in there that basically stated that all hospitals had to have some element of medical translation to help the patient out, to give them the best care possible. Mm-hmm. And it appears that almost all hospitals have some subscription to some sort of teletranslation services if they don't have it very commonly. I will tell you, like for English and Spanish, that's very common because Spanish is spoken in so many parts of the United States, sometimes even more frequently than English. So that language tends to be okay, although there, you know, it may not be perfect. Where you may struggle is if you get into certain dialects or certain unusual languages and you really try to do your best. I know I've struggled in those situations, and I have access to fantastic translators.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal to have that translation element really taken care of, and I'm always like so thankful when we have a great medical translator because they really make a huge difference.
Are they trained specifically in translating for medical scenarios?
There are programs that are designed for medical translations, and even like for something like Spanish, there are medical Spanish classes where you have to be certified because a lot of people will say, you know, I know a few lines, I'm fluent,
sure,
and you're not fluent.
Translating is a very different thing,
right.
Especially when you need a specific set of language for you know, medical scenarios, right?
Exactly. So this is one of those deals where it's just another area that I don't think often gets enough attention. And yet it is crucial. And as this study told us, there are real life issues that can come from a lack of a good translation, which can translate to a bad health outcome.
Right. Where does this get kind of murky? Like, is it harder when you have sort of a teletranslation service, like you mentioned, or like when it's something that's not entirely physical, like when it's not a cut and dry condition, it's something maybe that has a psychological elements as well?
I think speaking as a neurologist, I think that when you are trying to ascertain something like a language problem, let's say the actual symptom is there's funny changes in the language and you're wondering if something's going on in the brain, you have to, like, as a physician, you're supposed to be listening for the nuances of those errors, mm-hmm. because you can subdivide it in multiple ways to try to figure out where in the brain there might be a problem. Somehow this has to be conveyed to a translator who's going to try to pick up those nuances, and you have to sit there with that translator to figure out whether that occurred. Now, if the translator is, you know, being, oh, that's just an error, and they're not really on top of understanding how language errors can occur that may mean something, mm-hmm. you can miss something. The same is true for a memory issue or for a psychiatric issue. We're talking about mood or depression. There you start even entering into issues of culture where some groups you never admit to being depressed, and in others you admit to always being depressed. So it really means that that person has to know what they're doing and almost understand not only the language background, but to some degree, the cultural background. And that's something I don't think, and I'll say this as a doctor, I don't think we're that well trained in doing all the time.
Yeah. All right. That is Dr. Joseph Servin, neurologist with the Mayo Clinic and KJZZ's medical commentator. Dr. Servin, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure, Lauren.